families come together, they sit together, and you're all dressed up so nice and neat, and you look so sweet. But what I really think about is, isn't this the way God intends for heaven to be? He doesn't intend for me to just go to heaven without my wife, and he doesn't intend for my wife to go to heaven without me. He doesn't intend for me to go to heaven without my children, and he doesn't intend for me to go to heaven without my grandchildren. He intends for us, everyone, to be there. And what a wonderful, wonderful time that will be. I don't know how God will do it. I don't know. He's told me there'll be no tears in heaven. All will be just perfect. I don't know how he'll do it. But if one of my family members does not make it to heaven, I don't know. I don't know, Brother Clay. I don't know. That'd just take a little glow off, it seems to me. I want them, everyone, to be there. And I know you do as well. So let's go to heaven together. And if you're here and you're from the local community and you're here just with your family, why don't you just come and be with us every Lord's Day. Sit with your family and let your family, the members of this congregation who are your family members and your friends, help you go to heaven. And then let the rest of us help you as well. We're not taking the responsibility away from you. It's my responsibility to help my family, to help my wife go to heaven. It's my responsibility to help my children, my grandchildren, to go to heaven. They're my responsibility. God gave them to me. That's my responsibility. But that doesn't mean that I can't receive help from others. And you can receive help from this congregation. Let us, the Bible class teachers, be in Bible study every week and every time those classes are available, be in there. Be there and help those teachers to nurture and encourage you and to build you up in the most holy faith. Let's go to heaven together. Yeah, we'll really invite you. We want you to come every Lord's Day. We'll really invite you to come back and be with us on April the 30th. On April the 30th, Jason Allman's going to be here. He's going to speak three times, once at the Bible class hour, again at the worship service hour that morning. Then we're going to have a potluck meal together, and then we're going to have a third lesson right after that. All of those lessons centered around great invitations. The first of those, the great invitation to consider, to think that God, our Heavenly Father, the one who made us, and the one that we really let down in the way we've lived our lives many times, would still say, come, let's consider this together. Let's think about these things. The great invitation to cleansing, that we can be cleansed from your sins. A great invitation to cleansing and a great invitation to contentment. The greatest life you'll ever live is that of a Christian. It's the greatest life you can ever live. It's not always easy, but it's always the best. It's always the best. You come, lunch will be on me. Now today, it's on Dorothy Glover. She lives the first house on Jones Loop. Today, it's on her. But you come on the 30th, lunch, we'll have potluck meal together, and we'll just have a great time. Thank you.
I got some bad news.
What's that?
Today is Dorothy's birthday. She's taking the whole day off. You're on
the day. I didn't get that email. Dorothy will be cooking for everyone on her birthday. Happy birthday, Dorothy. Happy birthday. Hey, Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. And let's study a little bit from God's word, okay? Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. Now, these are the rules that he set before them. Now, this is hot on the heels of the Ten Commandments. Remember, that's in chapter 20 of Exodus. We're in chapter 21 now. And Moses, God through Moses, is laying out these rules. These are the rules that is set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he's talking to Hebrews about buying a Hebrew slave. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he'll serve you for 6 years. And in the seventh year, he'll go out free for nothing. For nothing. So 6 years he'll work for you, but on the seventh year he'll go out free. Free for nothing. If he comes in single, he comes in unmarried, he'll go out single, unmarried. If he comes in married, now if you purchase this slave, this Hebrew slave, and he was married at the time, if he's married, then he'll go out with his wife. He'll take his wife with him. If he comes in single, and if his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons and daughters, the wife and the children shall be the master's. So she stays, but he goes out alone. But if the slave plainly says, wait a minute, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I don't want to go out free, I want to stay, then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and the master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. I want to talk to you this morning about all ears, not A-L-L, but A-W-L, all ears. Do you know what an awl is? Well, I've got you a picture of one. I've been using one in the last few weeks, been putting metal on some roofs and things like that, and sometimes it's hard to get those screws started, so I have this awl, and I take a little hammer, and I put the sharp point down, and I hit it one lick. Pierces a hole right through that metal. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about if that slave, after 6 years, he's free to go out. You can't keep him from it. But if during that 6 year period, you as his master, you gave him a wife and he bore sons and daughters during that 6 year period, then he can leave, but the wife, the sons and daughters, they stay. Unless he says, wait a minute, I love my master and I love my wife. I don't want to go out without her. I love my children. I don't want to go out without her. Then the master shall bring him to God and to the door or the doorpost and shall bore his ear with an awl, and he shall serve his master forever. All ears. Now, there are almost many, many, many things in the Old Testament are a type of things in the New Testament. Those are called antitypes in the New Testament. They're an antitype of the type of thing that's talked about in the Old Testament. Let me show you just a couple more places. There are a couple more places where it seems to me and a lot of other people that this principle of this hole in the ear is played upon. One is found in Psalms chapter 40 and in verse number 6. Psalms 40 and verse number 6. By the way, if you read Psalms 40, you'd recognize it as being prophesying, talking about things that about Jesus, about our Lord. In Psalms chapter 40, verse number 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, I read a lot of that just so when we look in the New Testament, you'll recognize it, okay? You'll recognize it. But notice the phrase, mine ears hast thou opened. What would the Hebrews, the Jews who read this, what would they think? They reflect back on this awl being driven through the ear being opened up. It's that same kind of language. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says, beginning in verse number 5, Hebrews 10, verse number 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking of Jesus, he saith, Jesus saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me, or hath prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Psalms 40. Look. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I come to do thy will, O God. Psalms 40. In connection with, you've opened mine ears. You've opened mine ears. You've pierced my ear. Now, what does that mean? What did that mean? That means that I've gone to that door, and now I am a perpetual servant of the Master. I do His will. I do His will. When Jesus came, He said, hey, it's not burnt offerings and sin sacrifice that you desire. It's me doing your will. And I do your will. I'm your servant. Jesus, in a sense, had His ear open, didn't He? He obeyed the will of God. If you turn back in Hebrews into chapter 5, where really this thought begins and carries down into Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8, here He goes. You ready? Though He, Jesus, were a son, yet He learned obedience. That's that ear opening, right? He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And being then made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. Oh. We've got this type in the Old Testament of a master driving an awl, opening the ear of a voluntary servant, a voluntary slave. And the slave saying, I'll serve you from now on. I'll be yours forever. Voluntary. That's the type. You come to the New Testament and we have that type played out in Jesus Christ. He voluntarily, he laid His life down of His own accord. No one made Him lay it down. He laid it down and He took it up. A voluntary act. In the sense, He opened His ear. He had His ear opened. It said, I've come to do your will, O God. I've come to do yours. And how does that affect us? I mean, what does that mean to us? Jesus then becomes the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey Him. All those that in a spiritual sense have their ear opened by Him. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. So I'm talking to you this morning about all ears. All ears. We're actually talking about perpetual service. I mean, if you read there in Exodus chapter 21, the last phrase in verse number 6 of Exodus chapter 21, He'll take him to, his master will bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him for how long? Forever. Forever. Hey, I'm not ready to leave this week. I'm not ready to leave this week. Could I stay a week longer? No, you don't go to the doorpost with that attitude. Well, we'll see how things go for a month, or we'll see how things go for a year. That's not the way it works. He bored his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Forever. And that's the way we are with Jesus Christ. We have the power to be free. We have the power to walk away. And regretfully, some choose to do that, don't they? Some choose to do that. We have that power, but we don't even remotely want to be free. Do we, church? We don't even think about wanting to be free. That's not what we do. Listen, you don't go to the doorpost and have a guy drive an ice pick-like instrument through your ear into that doorpost thinking, well, I'll leave someday. That's not the way it works. We don't even remotely think about that. We have the power to be free, but we don't even want to be free. We're servants of Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We're followers, learners, disciples of His. And we're willing to take the consequences. I mean, I've never had my ear pierced. I know some of you have. I don't understand that. Don't get close to me with those things, okay? I don't understand that. But folks, for a guy to say, hey, take me to the doorpost, he understands there's some consequences to this decision. It means I'm going to suffer a little bit of pain, I would think. Is there a little bit of pain to those earrings? I don't know. But I'm just imagining. That's the reason I say to myself, not me. You go to the McCain Mall and you wander down through there, and there's always this little lady who'll come out and she'll say, would you like to have your ear pierced today? Just sit down right here. I'm not getting close to that chair. There may be no pain in it, folks, but I think there is. But listen, when you decide to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you understood the consequences. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be pleasant, but it's always going to be worth it, isn't it? It's always going to be worth it. And so we're willing to take on all the consequences. Why? Why? What are our reasons for having our ears open, for taking on the consequences of serving Jesus Christ, for Him to be our master, and our master not for a few days or a few weeks or a few months or a few years even, but forever? Why would we do that? Well, some of it comes from within us. Listen to that servant in Exodus chapter 21. I love my master. That's from within him. Hey, I don't want to leave. I love my master. And there's my wife, and there's my children. I love my wife. I love my children. That's the reason I'm making this decision. It's out of love. And that's from within us. And don't we do the same thing when it comes to Jesus Christ? Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, you'll obey me? I'm paraphrasing there. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's just another way of saying, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll have your ear opened. You'll do this. And that's from within us. The world will never understand it. Don't ask them to. They don't love the way we love. They don't love the one we love. But we love. Some of that comes from within us. Some of it comes from outside of us. Just from outside of us. It has nothing to do with how we feel. It has to do with what was done for us. I think we see that. You've been a slave to a master for 6 years, Exodus 21. You've been a slave to a master for 6 years. And after 6 years, you can go free. You can go free with, just go. But what do you say? I love my master. Why? Because that master's mistreated you? Because that master's been hard on you, has abused you? Or would you make that kind of decision because the master's been good to you? He's been kind to you. He's provided for you everything you need. All of that 6-year period. And if you go out, you leave all of that. Has God been good to you? What's He given you? What's He provided for you? Name me something He hasn't. In fact, it's all, isn't it? He's given it all, us all things that pertain to life, to living. That's the physical. And to godliness. That's the spiritual. Isn't that marvelous? And so we go to the doorpost. We go have our ears bored. Spiritually speaking, we go have our ears bored. We have that, and we go through that. Understanding the consequences. We understand that. But we do it sometimes. We do it because of what's going on inside us. It's within us. I love my master. I love my family. I do. Folks, if I don't make it to heaven, I still want my family to go. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. Sometimes that's the reason. But it's always mixed with something that's gone on outside of us too, right? Look how good God's been to me. He's given me everything. The Apostle Paul, he said, he's given to all men life, health, and good things yet to come. That's right. That's right. And we can't even think of one reason why we wouldn't go to the doorpost. Can you? Can you think of a reason not to? I mean, oh, well, I'm young, really. So when you're young, you don't need God taking care of you? Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Man, I used to be young. I remember I was young and I did dumb things. Now I'm old and I do dumber things. But man, I needed God protection and God taking care of me and God providing for me. And I'm thankful that He did. So that doesn't, you know, that makes no sense. I don't love God when I'm young? Yeah, love Him when you're young. Solomon say in Ecclesiastes, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Yeah, before those evil days come. Well, what about when you're middle age? Now there you don't need God. I mean, you're busy with everything else. You're raising your family. You're making a living. You're putting away a retirement. You're doing all of those kind of things. You don't need Him when you're middle age, do you? Well, sure I do. Sure you do. Sure you do. How about when you're old? When you've reached that point in life where, you know, you look behind you and you got more memories than you got future. You know what I'm talking about? You got more days behind you than you got ahead of you, and you know it. You don't need Him then, do you? Well, you need Him at every stage in your life. And we recognize that. And so we can't think of one reason. We as Christians, we can't think of one reason for not serving Him. And so let me bore your ears. Let me bore your ear for just a minute. Let me bore your ear by reminding you, telling you about the sufferings of our Savior. You know them, don't you? You know them. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. All we like sheep went astray. But by His stripes we're healed. Right? He bore our sins in His body on the tree. All of that suffering. All of those things that we draw up and we see as mental pictures in our minds when we read those kind of passages. They bore into our ear. They make us want to serve Him. Why? Because He did that for us. That's without us. That's outside of us. He did that when we didn't want it. He did that when we didn't deserve it. He did that before we even knew we needed it a lot of times. Let me bore your ear by reminding you of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Let me bore your ear with the truth. With the truth, folks. Do y'all know there's a lot of fake news out there today? There's a lot of fake gospel out there too, isn't there? Why would you even take a chance? You've got it. You've got the truth. Read it for yourself. Don't trust a man like me. Don't trust any man. He may lead you, he may guide you, he may be able to help you along, but don't put your trust in him. Put your trust in the Word of God, in the truth, and you have it. You have it. I'll go to the doorpost, but I'm not going to the doorpost for David Riley now. I'll go to the doorpost for the truth. And what did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So let me bore your ear with the truth. Let me bore your ear with the cost. As we've already said, there are consequences. There are. It's not always easy. It's always worth it. Don't do the minimum for Christ. He did the maximum for you, didn't he? Do you think he did the maximum for you so you can, you know, live the minimum for him? Don't do that. Give him your best. Your very best in all that you do. Give him your best. It's expensive. It's expensive when it comes to your energy. I mean, there is work to do in the cause of Christ. There's work to do. He blessed you with gifts and abilities that are to be used in his kingdom. Yes, you can use them in other ways, but he really gave those for you to use in his cause, in his service, in his work. It's expensive when it comes to our energy. It's expensive when it comes to our time. It is. It takes time to be a Christian. It takes 100% of your time to be a Christian. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I always tell my family this. If you put sports and pleasure and all of those things first, you will not have time for God. But if you put God first, you'll have time for sports and vacations and pleasure and those kind of things. But that's just the way it works. It's got to be 100%. It's expensive. There are consequences to serving God. There are. It's expensive when it comes to your money. Who does it really belong to? It actually belongs to him. You don't have even 1 cent that he didn't give you. Well, I worked hard for it. And who gave you life? And who gave you health? And who gave you the ability to work? He blessed you with that. It's expensive. But folks, as we conclude, think about the cost of not having your ear bored. If you don't, are you his servant? No, you go out free. You're free to go. You are. You're free to go. But understand, he's not your master. Would you agree? He's no longer your master. You made your own choice. He's no longer your master. If you choose to leave, if you choose to go out, he's not your master. If he's not your master, will he be your savior? Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. For if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Lord, what does that mean? Master. If we'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's why we're here, aren't we? That God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If I don't want him as my Lord, can I have him as my salvation, as my Savior? Think about the cost, folks. Think about the cost of not having our ears bored, spiritually speaking, bored with that all. This morning, maybe you're a child of God. You're a Christian. You are. You're a Christian. You claim Christ. You claim him as your Savior. But you're not really his servant. Honestly, if you had to, be honest, you serve yourself. You serve yourself more than you serve the Lord. You need to recall. You need to recall the commitment that you made. You need to ask for forgiveness for not putting him first in your life, in all ways, putting him first in your life. And you need to ask his forgiveness. If you would like for your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray with you and for you, we'll do that. We're here for you. Maybe you're here, though, you're not yet a Christian. Why won't you come to the doorpost? Why won't you respond to the gospel, the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ to come to him, to take his yoke upon you, to learn from him? After all, he's meek and he's lowly in heart. And in him, you'll find rest for your soul. Why won't you become a Christian today? We extend to you the invitation of our Lord. You come with a heart full of faith. You come with an attitude of repentance. You come with a mouth ready to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and be buried with him in baptism. We'll help you with that today. You come if you have needs. Do that now as together we stand and sing.